name is wonderful, Jesus. And His name is wonderful, and so is His precious word, wonderful. Will you please turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. And we read from the 14th verse. 2 Kings 13 verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrow. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, Elisha said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians and Arabs, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote twice, and And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. If I should give our meditation a title for this evening, I would call it The Spirit of Power. Among the prophets in Israel, there were these two outstanding prophets, the prophets, Elijah and Elisha. You remember, they both took a walk towards Bethel. And when they came to Bethel, the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, Do you know that the Lord will take Elijah from thee today? And he said, Yes, I know. Hold your peace. And Elijah said to Elisha, Tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, As the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they walked together to Jericho. And there the same thing happened as in Bethel. And then Elijah said, I have to go to the river Jordan. So they both walked to the river Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and hit the water. And the water divided, and the boat went on dry ground through the river Jordan. And when they were on the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do unto thee before the Lord will take me from thee. And Elisha said, I pray that a double spirit of thine may be upon me. And Elijah said, It's a hard thing thou hast asked. And when the Lord will take me from thee, it shall be so, and if not, it shall not be. And Elijah was taken away, as we read in one part of the scriptures, with a fiery chariot and fiery horse. And Elisha then said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horses thereof. We took the mantle that fell from Elijah, and he went back to the river of Jordan and again slew the water, and the water divided. And he walked through the river of Jordan, and the sons of the prophets who watched Elijah, they said, the spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha. But now we find Elisha on his deathbed. A very different scene from that of Elijah. Elisha, on his bed of sickness, it says here, unto death. A very different way of passing from life by wasting sickness than by a fiery chariot. And yet, God is as near to his servants in one place as in the other. The slow wasting away is as much his messenger as a sudden call, as we only recently witnessed with the home call of our brother Tucker. But now, we all are waiting for that sudden call. Come out hither. What a glorious prospect for the children of God. Joash, the king of Israel, comes to see Elisha on his sickbed. And he, the king, repeats the words of Elisha when Elijah was taken from him. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he even wept over the prophet. Seemingly, the prophet takes no notice of the grief and the exclamation from the king, but goes straight on to his work as prophet. He would die, as someone would said, has said with his boots on. In fact, Mr. Sucker said that the very day he died. Mr. Sucker said, you're doing too much. Today you should take a rest. And he said, I might as well die with my boots on. Now here is the prophet dying. His last words are not edifying moral or religious reflection, nor does he seem too much concerned to leave with the king his final protest against Israel's sin. But his thoughts are all about warfare. And his last effort is to stir up the young, sluggish king to some of his own enthusiasm in the conflict with the enemy. It does not sound like an edifying deathbed, does it? People usually think that all secular things, political affairs, should all be out of a man's mind when he comes to his last moment. But Elisha thought to stick to his work to the last, and with his last breath seeks to stimulate others to do the work of the Lord. A good example for all of us to follow. Elisha, the dying man, seems to have more vigor and energy
than the young king.
Because it's he that gives commands to the king, and the king very punctuously obeys the commands of Elisha. He said, take bow and arrow. And he took them. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand as he held the bow and arrow. And I believe therewith communicates power to the king. You read those two verses again, 15, verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the windows eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord delivers. For the arrow of the Lord's victory, thou shalt smite until thou have consumed. Now in the history of the children of Israel, we read time and time again of their victory by many or few, because it was God's victory. God fighting for Israel. And wasn't this the purpose of God calling Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his people? That his people may display the glory and the power of God, that other nations may see that there is a living God among the Israelites rather than the idol gods that the nations worship. And yet, we know from the history of Israel that Israel failed. And then God in due time sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his wonderful sacrifice and victory on the cross over sin and death and hell, and through sending the Holy Spirit from heaven, he began a new work. He gathered a new people together again for that same purpose, to display God's glory and God's power in the world. And at the church. Power again was given. In Acts 1 verse 8 we read, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And then at Pentecost the Holy Spirit was given. And all through the Acts we see the manifestation of the Spirit of power. Now here in our story, power was communicated by a touch for the purpose of victory over Israel's enemy. But to us, there's not merely some partial communication of the power as hand touched hand, but every organ is quickened and is vitalized. We read of the same prophet who stretched himself upon a dead child. Eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, and every part received the vitalizing influence. Now we as Christians have the Spirit given to us, and we are strengthened with might in the inner man. That gift that gives strength comes to us by contact. Not with Elisha, but with Elisha's Lord and Master. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he touched people here on earth, he brought sight to the blind, healing to the sick, lame limbs were healed again, even life to the dead. And the same Spirit of power was manifested mightily in the life and the service of the apostle. We can have that touch far more truly and more mightily operating upon us than the touch of Elisha's hand to the king, to the hand of the king of Israel. For we can draw near to him. And in union with him, by faith and love and obedience, can his Spirit come in close contact with our spirit and fills us, strengthening us for every service and every task. Oh yes, that touch which gives strength is a real thing. Is Jesus Christ in us? He can lay his hand upon our hand to do his work. He can lay his eyes upon our eyes that we may see him only and have a vision for lost souls. He can put his heart upon our heart that we may love like he loves. That this power is communicated before duties are commanded. The king in our story first had the touch of Elisha's hand, then received the command to shoot. So the Lord Jesus gives before he commands, and commands nothing which he has not fitted us to perform. He is not an austere man to reap where he has not sown. But he comes to his face and says, I give thee my son. And then he looks us in the very eye and says, wilt not thou give me thyself? He first gives, then commands. Also, the strength communicated is realized in the effort to obey his command. Joash the king did not feel anything when Elisha put his hand upon king's hand. But it was when he drew the bow that he felt his strength. We read in Matthew chapter 12, and the Lord Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand. But the very infirmity to be dealt with was his inability to stretch forth his hand. But at the command of the Lord, he triumphed, and in his own amazing wonder, his hand was restored, cool as the other. He gives us he commands, and in obeying, we are conscious of his power. Now let's see some of the possibility of the victory. When the arrows are, or when the strength is God's strength, and the arrows are God's arrows, the arrows, and with the arm of Joash, the arrow sent forth, the prophet said, the arrow of the Lord's victory, or the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Thou shalt smite until thou hast consumed. Victory is possible if the arrow is the Lord's arrow and the strength is his strength. In our own strength, we cannot have the victory, no matter how hard we try. All that comes from him must correspond to him from whom it comes. And he never leaves off until he has finished or completed. No one can say he began to build and was not able to finish. He has begun a work, he also will finish it. There is no reason that we as Christians should have our ups and downs. Why there should be interruptions in our devotion, or falling short in our consecration, or sliding back in our progress. Insofar as our Christian life is concerned, the perfection of the power that is granted to us involves the possibility of perfect victory. The spirit of power. Remember in Genesis 32, we read of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And the angel said, thy name shall no more be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men. Oh, wouldn't we like to have more of that power with God and with men? And it is the spirit of power that God himself has given to every one of his own. And it's our yielding to him that this power may be manifested in our lives. The prophet Micah, in his 3rd chapter, when he spoke against the false prophets, he said, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. For a Christian, there is no other way to have power but the Spirit of the Lord. How often we quote this wonderful verse in Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. A And then here you take the exhortation of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 and 10 to heart when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then, in 2 Timothy 1:7, we read that God has given unto us the spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And then that wonderful verse we read in Ephesians 1:19-20. The first prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesians. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places. The Spirit of power. And yet when we read all these verses, and we see the manifestation of the power of the Spirit through the apostles and many others, yet there is a but. Read verse 18 and 19 with me then, in our chapter. Elisha said to the king, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Look the end of 25th verse. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the city of Israel. Thou shouldst have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou wouldst have smitten the Syrians till they were consumed, but now thou shalt only conquer thrice. The king here was put to a test. Power was communicated. The promise was given for full victory. Now it depended upon the king if he would rise to the occasion. But he stopped. He only smote 3 times and stopped. This speaks to me of perseverance to complete victory. How many Christians we know of, they get tired of fighting the good fight of faith and give up. You know of some? Sad, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered you and ye would not? Here is all power for a perfect victory. And yet the man that has it has to be satisfied with only a partial victory. How very solemn that speaks to each of our hearts. I said before that Israel was called by God for the very purpose to manifest His glory and power among the other nations. And so the church of God in our present day, God has called out to manifest His glory and His power in the present world. It's a solemn thought that the church's unbelief can limit Christ's power in the world. Because the church has lost its power because there's too much world in the church. In the churches today, you have organizations, committees, boards, teams, programs, entertainment, recreation rooms, pool rooms, swimming pools, and whatnot. 1 hour service, what they call worship. No evening service. No prayer meeting through the week. And they call that today improvement over the simple program of our forefathers. Now someone has said, the church had never more influence over the world as in the early days when they had nothing to do with the world. A low expectation limits his power. Yet it's written, all things are possible to him that believeth. Expect great things. And you will feel the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Small desires will black his power. He cannot come to us unless we desire him. And he cannot give to us more of himself than what we wish. Oh, to make room for God and his power in your life and your desire, and you will get him in all its fullness, in all its power. When you read, the Lord Jesus said, he could do there no mighty work because of their unbelief. Our faithlessness limits his power. Our faith is the measure of our capacity of the Spirit of power within us. In Luke 24, verse 48 and 49 we read, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You know how this reads in the original? Sit ye still in the city of Jerusalem until ye be clothed with power from on high. This power, this gift comes to us as a vesture and wraps and covers and hides our own weaknesses and our own personality. To draw apart from outward activity to a solitary place and sit with him. This will fill us with the power necessary to do what he commands. We learn from Mary and Martha. Mary said, Martha served. But Mary was being trained for Martha's work when she set at Jesus' feet. Martha could not do her work without being troubled and careful, because she was more accustomed to the work than to the communion which had made her work light. Oh, that we may learn to sit at Jesus' feet. He'll fit us for whatever He wants us to do. And the power, the use of power increases power. I believe the reason why so many of us have so little of the strength of God in our life, because we have not used the strength that we do have. Peter and John were in prison because they used the power of a risen Christ when they healed the lame man. And prayer was made to continue with all boldness in the same power. And then we read, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Ah, beloved, I believe where there is great power, it will be great grace. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, we read, Christ, the power of God. And our position, according to Ephesians, is in Christ. Christ, the power of God. And in Romans 8, verse 37, we read that in all these things, we are more than conqueror through Him that loved us. The Spirit of power. How much we need to manifest that Spirit in our present day. May the Lord grant it to us through this little meditation. To hold out our hands. In fact, the Lord Jesus looks us in the eye and says, Wilt not thou give me thyself? My son, give me thy heart. May we grant it. May we give it, beloved. And then have in all our work for the Lord the manifestation of the Spirit. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for this incident in the life of Elisha and the King of Israel, and how it speaks to our own heart. The power that Thou hast given to us, as Thou hast given us and sealed us with Thy Holy Spirit. More than that, even Christ, the power of God in us. Oh, our Father, tonight we confess that we manifest so little of this power that's in us and with us to do Thy work. Oh, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit may touch our hearts. We be willing to give ourselves, our eyes, our hands, our heart, our all to Thee, to vitalize it, to quicken it, so that it be useful for Thy service and for the service of one another, and all for Thy glory, ever willing out of loving and thankful hearts for the wonder and the glory of our salvation, to serve Thee and one another in Thy love
and in the power of thy Holy Spirit. And give us that willingness, loving Father, to persevere until there is perfect victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this little time together, committing one another, and especially those who have mentioned before the sick ones, to thy loving and thy gracious care. And together we give thee our heartfelt thanks in our Savior's precious name. Amen.